Are you free with your likes, or do you withhold them?
Ooh, am I withholding?
That's a good,
is that what you're asking?
This is like a fundamental personality
I'm
type.
I'm pretty free-willing. Free-willing with my likes.
Oh, I cast them everywhere. They're free.
Yeah.
No,
for my friends, people I like, boom, 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 I will like everything. Even if I hate
absolutely.
It, I will like it.
Yeah. I won't even look at it before I like it if I like you. That's
great.
Okay. That's fine. Yeah, but if it's like, if it's going to require me to pick an emotion, like if I got to get like the heart or the thumb or the caring or whatever, like, I'm going to think about that one.
Sure.
I'm going to think real hard.
I'm going to be truthful. If I get a thumbs up from somebody and somebody else gives me a heart, the heart means more.
It does. Yeah. It really does. I don't like to give them.
All right. Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring anything our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are you doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here. Still pretty successful.
Crushing it.
Yes. Welcome. Welcome.
Elise and I are parents of children in school today.
Woo! You know, Timmy's in daycare.
I'm not, like, accusing you of anything. I'm just, like...
rude.
The subpar parents, you might right.
Just because I'm saying that kids in school matter doesn't mean I think that all other kids don't matter also, all right?
Yes,
all kids matter. Thank
congratulations to the first day of school.
Woo!
Thank you.
Hoorah.
And we had fun at your daughter's birthday party, Greg.
Yeah.
Yes. Dissected worms.
Yeah.
I did not get to dissect a worm, which was a little disappointing.
Me too.
Because I did that in freshman biology, and I was real good at it. So I was ready to show those 6-year-olds what
was
up. Was
this like a class project or just...
You didn't have to dissect worms in biology? That was like...
We did. We also did a cat.
But I also did not brag about it.
Yeah. You know, like, I'm so good at slicing this thing.
If you're good at it,
it's just on your resume.
Yeah.
It's not on my resume. Maybe it should be.
All right.
I'll work on that.
Excellent worm splicer.
Yeah, a science party. That was pretty fun.
It was.
Yeah,
yeah,
and you guys, your boys both got to do like a volcano experiment, right?
I heard that happened. I was not a part of that.
Okay.
Yes, our young boys, they could not dissect worms, so they didn't do a volcano experiment.
I don't know. I feel like Timmy with a scalpel would have, I don't see a problem here.
You bet. No, he just wanted to be tossed in the air the whole time.
Sure.
Went home very sore from this party.
but you got cupcakes.
That is true.
So. I made a joke so funny that someone dropped their cupcake.
But
that happened.
Really?
What happened? What did you say?
It a child?
I don't even remember what I said.
It wasn't that funny, if you don't remember it.
It was a spur of the moment. Like, it wasn't like, oh, I can tell you this joke.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I made a funny, you know, witty remark.
A quip.
Kind of,
yeah.
A quip, yeah.
Who dropped their cupcake?
The nice lady who had to leave early, who you had given a cupcake. The only person who dropped
a
cupcake.
She's not the only person who dropped a cupcake,
first
of all.
The only person I saw dropped
it. Yeah.
He still had
like
30 cupcakes left over.
Yeah. She dropped it because of something you said?
I said something funny.
She dropped it.
And
she
dropped the cupcake. And she laughed. And then I responded by saying, this is why I shouldn't say funny things. She was like, yeah, you're probably right. So I take credit for her dropping the cupcake.
Let's text her right now.
Yeah,
I don't even know her name. I could not do that.
She's in the studio, so come on out. Yes.
A little Maury Povich action behind the curtain. Here she comes.
All right, let's move on here. I've got some news story here. Right. I actually have two.
Ooh, the news.
Because they're somewhat related. They're about food. We talk about food a lot, though.
We do.
Okay. Yes, this is a good day to not eat lunch
stories.
Before the podcast.
Make sure you lose your appetite here.
I'm going to give you a choice here, which one we want to go first. Do you want to go talk about Jennifer Aniston, or do you want to talk about McDonald's?
She wants to talk about Jennifer Aniston first.
True. Always. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm impressed that you knew that. I didn't know that I'd revealed that part of myself on the podcast.
Many times.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's also concerning, but here we go.
So, in style... magazine or show.
It
something.
It's a magazine.
Great. They recently asked the 52-year-old actress, Jennifer Aniston.
52?
Yeah.
52 years young?
Yeah.
Okay.
What she likes to eat when she's feeling stressed. So let me ask you, what do you eat when you're feeling stressed?
Everything.
Yeah. Pick the fried food and I'm on it.
That's what stress is for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously it's not like carrots. You know, like,
no. Who does that?
No.
No, it's...
No, I probably pizza rolls.
Okay.
But not
pizza
like...
Pizza rolls.
Yeah. Like the cheap ones from the store that you buy.
So you revert to like college diet?
Oh, yeah.
Some Totino's.
Yeah, revert Totino's or
macaroni
like...
Macaroni and cheese.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's good. Anything fried.
Yeah.
Give me some fried chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Salty foods. That's
sure.
definitely
sure.
probably where I'm going to go to.
Pizza?
Chips, popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What Jennifer Aniston eats is a chip.
A chip.
Crunch, 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 is what she said.
Sad life.
That is a week for her. Maybe I should call her up and say, listen, have you ever experienced Totino's pizza rolls?
Do you need some pastoral counseling?
I think Jennifer Aniston
so
needs some pastoral counseling.
This is followed. Just one chip. Usually I'm good at that. I can have one M&M, one chip. I know that's so annoying.
Wow.
She's right about one thing.
Right.
That is
annoying.
One chip? I think she's doing that. I don't know who taught her to eat chips, but she's doing it wrong.
Right. Yeah. That's not the way to do it. Do you think she's lying to herself or to all of us? Or is this actually like she has such a great life that she only experiences a little bit of frustration and one chip suffices?
It might be that she's just restricted for so long.
Yeah.
With that length of a career.
She no longer knows how to enjoy.
Right.
A bag
it's
of
just
chips.
Her.
We should probably help her with that.
You know,
we should all collectively
ship some chips to her.
Yeah. Let's chip in.
With instructions on
Look, in fairness, if she's like, what do you eat when you're stressed? And she was like, you know, I like the barbecue chips. This would not matter. Like, nobody would care about this interview.
Right. Yeah.
But by saying one chip,
yeah.
All of a sudden, this is something that's
this
now.
This could be a publicity move.
Yes.
Yeah.
Could. I don't know if she's got anything to promote. I mean, has she really done much since Friends?
Right, but that's why she's got to promote her brand herself.
Right.
She is the
Maybe
brand.
She's starting a company.
Maybe.
One chip.
Yes. One chip.
You can buy a bag of one chip.
How big is this chip?
That's a good
question.
Yeah, that is
the size of a pizza or...
Yeah.
Do you have a potato that big?
Well, is it a potato cut instead of, you know, the one way, but the lengthwise?
Instead of the one way, the other way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hot dogs and hamburgers.
I'm making a symbol, which I'm sure the listeners can get to gather.
You had to be there.
Please don't make a hot dog chip. All right, please don't do that.
Or do.
Maybe.
Depending on what you're into.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, you know, if it's lengthwise...
Yeah,
you
that's,
know,
a, bigger
that's
chip.
A bigger chip. You know,
yeah.
That's,
or you get like those tortilla chips. You could make a big tortilla and make that.
Yes.
Because usually it's a tortilla broken up. So
yeah.
Just one tortilla,
yeah.
One chip. Or it's like, you know, if you're eating nachos and the cheese says them all stick together,
that's one nacho.
Right.
If she defines that as one chip, I could get on board.
This
was
like more of a lie of the mission to me at this point.
The one chip is that it's actually 30 chips stuck together.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, done.
Okay, the one M&M though. So a chip, at least you could figure like, you could take tiny little bites of it and like spread it out. One M&M, you're just popping that into your mouth.
Yeah.
Like you can't like take a tiny little bite of a nibble the M&M.
My daughter would contradict you on that. She can make anything last for more bites than it should. So.
You know, that's insane. Okay. Well, it's going to McDonald's.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm okay with you ruining McDonald's. That's fine.
Yeah.
How about ruining Jennifer Aniston? Impossible.
I'm less okay with that.
Yeah.
Woman. There's a headline here. Woman sues McDonald's.
Jennifer Aniston sues McDonald's.
Yes.
Oh, wait.
After burger ad compelled her to break Lent fast.
Wow. That's... The burger ad was so good that I had to give up my fast for Lent.
Look, if McDonald's is making you break your fast,
what are
you didn't care anyway.
Is this emotional damages, or what is she trying to get out of this?
Yeah, so I'm not going to try to pronounce her name. It's Russian. She's suing.
Yeah.
Look, there's weird. Like,
we're bad at names on this.
There's
podcast.
Like six consonants in a row.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Cannot do it. Let me see.
You want to see it right there? Yeah, okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
okay,
it's fair. It's fair.
The first two letters are K and S, so you
yep,
know
that tracks.
Yeah.
Sneva.
Sneva.
Bless you.
Yeah.
All right. That's,
all of our Russian listeners, we're sorry.
Yes. Yeah. I'm a quarter Russian, so you know.
Does that mean you're allowed to make fun of their names?
Yeah.
I don't think that's how that works.
She's one of my people.
Yeah.
So, from
that's
the motherland.
Not how that works.
Right.
From the motherland.
Okay. So she's on a Lenten fast where she was not eating meat for Lent.
Sure.
When I saw an advertising banner, I could not help myself.
Is she in Russia?
Yeah, she's in Russia.
Oh, they have McDonald's in Russia?
Yeah.
Okay.
All over the world.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Capitalism.
Yeah.
Who thunk it?
Gross.
So she is suing them.
Okay.
For $14.
For $14.
Is that how much the burger costs?
It's 1,000 rubles is what she's sending for, which in American is $14.
I thought rubles were what Fred Flintstone spent. Is rubles are real money in Russia? Okay, all right, I'm on track now. I'm caught up. What did Fred, didn't he spend rubles?
Do you remember?
Come on,
Flintstone stands. All you listeners out there, help me out here. I'm pretty sure Fred Flintstone spent
it. To me, I don't know if you play Legend of Zelda, but it sounds very much like the currency in Legend of Zelda.
That is rupees.
Rupees,
yes.
But whenever I hear rubles, I immediately think
it's been a long time since I played Zelda.
Yeah. Well, rupees is also a currency in India, so.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing we love more than cultural appropriation of video games.
Amen.
All right.
And in the Flintstones, apparently.
They're right.
So she's in them for breaching consumer protection law and insulting her religious feelings.
Breaching consumer... What? They were advertising a burger. Their mission was accomplished.
They should have known. It's lit, people.
Yeah.
So they shouldn't be allowed to advertise their product because of her religious beliefs.
Yeah. Well, she could have gotten the, like, fillet of fish, right?
Like she could have.
She could have ignored the banner. She could have looked away.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just get the fronts.
I see ads for things I don't want all the time. Ads that confront my religious beliefs all the time. I can look away. I don't have to sue that company.
Let's get litigious, people.
Sure. Hey, if there's one thing we're good at in the United States, it's suing people for stuff.
Yes.
Sure. You know,
No, she's in Russia because she's worth 1,000 rubles. Okay.
Maybe it works differently in Russia. Like their legal
religious
system.
Freedom?
That too.
Because it's in quotes.
Right? Yeah. But I would think that she would just lose money.
Yeah, you feel like...
There's no way that she's going to actually come out flush $14.
Mm. Right.
Yeah,
because... But it's in ruples, so maybe she comes out, like, the 1,000 ruples maybe balances out. Because 1,000 is more than 14.
Yeah, but, like, how much is her lawyer getting out of this, you know?
Probably, like, 700 ruples.
Yeah, sure. So all of a sudden, you're down to just 30% of what you sued him for. So
I don't know. Lawyers are expensive.
So you've got, like, $4, you know?
Maybe she's her own lawyer.
Oh,
maybe she had a semester of law school.
Is that all it takes
maybe.
To be your own lawyer?
I don't think...
I don't think
you can represent yourself.
Yeah.
I think though, is to sue someone. I mean, you have to file paperwork. So like,
that sounds
odd. Yeah, that like defending yourself is easy because you just show up at court and you can just say whatever you want.
I didn't do it.
and then you go to jail. So,
but it was easy.
Yeah, but you know, free.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I have eaten at McDonald's. I've certainly felt like suing them afterwards.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah.
Not because of...
Was your religious freedom infringed?
No,
my
intestinal freedom was infringed.
Yeah.
Yes.
Again, I think once you willingly put the burger into your own mouth, they are no longer obligated to whatever happens after that. Yeah.
Okay. You know, they pass the buck.
You've made the choice. Yeah. This is your own dietary freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom! They can take our burgers, but they can never take our freedom. All right. There's your Braveheart shout out that Elise was waiting for.
Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So we are talking about conflict today.
Well, that's good because we got to talk to McDonald's. We've got some conflict
to
take up with them. So.
Yes. Yeah. And Jenna Ramsden.
Right.
Should we go ahead and preface up front that you're the only one that knows?
We'll get there.
Anything about this?
About conflict?
Great. Patrick is well versed in conflict.
Yes.
David and I.
We don't know anything.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about conflict.
So,
everybody loves us.
This is from Relevant. We've been doing a lot of Relevant.
Yeah.
I'm going to say.
Very relevant.
Look, Relevant has been pumping out some hot stuff here.
Maybe we should get them to sponsor us.
Maybe we should.
We could become the Relevant podcast.
We should get on that.
I think they have their own podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not as good as this.
Hey, probably better.
Don't sell us short.
Right. Oh, we can't send this clip to Relevant.
Yeah. So much for that.
But it also, I'd like to take this time to put Christianity Today on blast. They're not giving us the stuff that we need here to talk about.
Has been slacking.
Because I went to Christianity Today. I went through a lot of articles and nothing popped out to me. So
sometimes that happens.
Yeah. Religion News Service, Patheos, those are all usually where we go. Relevant's been giving us the good stuff. So.
Damn, whatever we got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. 14 questions to ask before you before starting that conversation you're dreading.
Ooh, all right. Okay. Have we ever had conversations that we were dreading? Do you have experience with this?
Yes.
Okay. What kinds of conversations? We don't need to like divulge like deep personal secrets,
right.
But what kinds of conversations have we had that we were dreading going into them?
I think really any conversation that involves
really
conflict.
Any conversation.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I don't like to talk to
people. Do I have to talk to a human? Yeah,
right.
I'm dreading
that. Yeah. I mean, anything that's like somewhat awkward subjects.
Yeah.
Like I will... lay awake at night worrying about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, conflict would definitely be one of those things. I'm conflict avoidant as a person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, that was a conversation I'm dreading. Also, any conversation that's on the phone. You know, I'm also, I get anxiety over those things.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Patrick's like a millennial in a Gen Xer's body.
I think I kind of am.
Yeah.
Yes. But this is like the season where I have to call parents, like be like, hey, do you want to be a mentor? And I'm going to be honest, it's really hard for me to do it. Like, it's not like, the ask in like, it's always over the phone. My anxiety.
You're very polite
on
the phone, though.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Wow. That's a very affirming little moment here.
Yeah.
I'm glad we could all be a part of that.
Yes.
I'm going to back
you're
away
also
slowly.
Polite on the phone.
That's fine. It's all right. It's whatever. Yeah, I avoid, I don't avoid, but I like stress over conversations that I know are going to be conflictual as well.
Yeah.
Particularly like, as a pastor with people who are part of the church where like I have to call them on something or I'm like, you know, this was out of line or whatever, like those conversations, I'm like, oh, this, because I'm in my head, maybe you guys do this too, in my head, I'm imagining the worst case scenarios.
Yes.
Almost always.
Yeah.
Rather than assume, like, rather than doing the seventh commandment thing where I should assume the best about my neighbor, I'm assuming that my neighbor is going to be the worst and he's just going to come at me with everything they've got. And yeah, I don't like that.
And then I do spend my time beforehand, like, being mentally prepared for what they're going to say.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm ready.
You have a script.
And by the way, I'm never actually ready.
Right.
So.
No.
You just think you are.
Yeah.
I need to have notes. You
right.
know, like a bunch of note cards spread out. You know.
For like scenario A through F.
Yeah.
What about like with family and stuff?
What you do there is just never talk about anything.
Yeah, I was going to say, bury
that deep. No, just kidding. Yes.
I think like with my parents and extended family, I'm conflict avoidant.
Yeah.
But with my spouse, it's, no, we need to work this out.
Yeah. Sure. I think that's a healthy marriage.
Yeah.
I think that's good. You should talk to them. Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah.
But with my parents, that would be much harder. So.
Yeah. I definitely have like a circle within my family of like people we can call each other on stuff. And I think we're going to get into some of this with the types of questions that we're asking, like
mm-hmm.
which kinds of conversations. But there's definitely like a slightly larger circle of family where I'm like, this is not worth it. I'm just going to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to stay over here. You talk about whatever you want to talk about. And I'm just going to back out and not worry about it.
Yeah.
So one of the things that's unavoidable before we get to the 14 questions here,
mm-hmm.
conflict is intrinsic to humanity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, a few weeks ago, Pastor David, you and I talked about anger
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
judgment, and that kind of intrinsic to our faith. So it's interesting that Jesus does kind of give us like a little bit of like, hey, what should you do when there's conflict?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is something addressed in
mm-hmm.
Scripture, and he kind of lays out a plan. Why don't you give us what that plan looks like?
Well, I don't know which plan you're referring to, so now I'm feeling a little bit on the spot. I mean, there's the plan of what happens if someone's, like, going against the church and things like that. You know, call them in, and you go with one person, then you go with two people.
That's the plan.
So if that's the plan we're talking about, because there's also, like, the Beatitudes and stuff like that, which are all good conflict things and pieces of the Sermon on the Mount.
That's the conflict plan.
All right, so the plan is, so you've got someone else. This is supposed to happen specifically within the context of a church and how you repair relationships within the church. And so let's say, Elise, you and I notice that Patrick is being a jerk.
Yeah.
And so first step, Patrick insults Elise.
Get him on a podcast.
Step one. Elise goes and talks privately to Patrick and says, hey, you were being a jerk.
Yeah.
And hopefully Patrick says, you're right, I was being a jerk.
Right.
And says, I'm sorry, and all is well. But instead, Patrick says, I wasn't being a jerk, you're terrible. And Elise comes back and says, hey, David, Patrick's being a jerk, and I tried to talk to him, but it didn't work. So then Elise and I get a little posse. Two or three of you go together, and we all go to Patrick.
Love
and we're like,
posse.
Hey, Patrick,
sure.
all of us are here to say you've been a little bit of a jerk. And Patrick still says, no, I'm not being a jerk, right? And then finally you go to the whole congregation, and then finally say, all right, then I'm
going to
treat you
we're
like...
We're going to shame you in front of your people.
Well, so it says treat them as you would an unbeliever.
Mm-hmm.
Which
and
should
so,
be nicely.
Uh-huh. See, there we go. So what does it mean for us to treat someone as we would an unbeliever? I mean, we probably cut them out of like an internal circle of the church
mm-hmm.
to some extent, but we also still love them with the love of Christ, desiring for them to return to Christ. And so how do we do that? That's
mm-hmm.
often where that gets warped a little bit in modern context.
Yeah, but I think, I'm not saying Jesus's plan is like 100% appropriate in 100% of every situation.
No, absolutely not.
But the Bible clearly gives us, here's an outline for how things should look.
Yeah, in fact, that plan has been used to keep people in abusive relationships as well, and then to keep abusers in power as well.
Yeah.
So we should
be
very clear, this is not a fix-all for every situation, but that is a plan that Jesus lays out.
Yeah.
But I think it does give us, you know, the mindfulness to say like, when God cares about healthy conflict
mm-hmm.
resolution,
yeah.
like that this matters. It matters so much that Jesus does take time to address it to his followers. The writers of the Gospels take time to say, like, this is important.
Mm-hmm.
This teaching
mm-hmm.
matters. Out of all the things Jesus is teaching, we're only giving you a smidgen of them. And here's one of the ones that really would want to highlight for future believers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, this matters, like, and how Christians deal with conflict in a healthy, productive way not only matters for the life cycle of the church, but I think it matters for the greater world, right? Like, to be models of healthy conflict resolution is probably pretty needed right now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest, I don't think the church is doing as great a job at modeling this publicly,
for sure.
But I think could be doing a very good job of doing it internally.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know, I don't want to presuppose.
Some places are probably doing it better than others internally.
Yeah.
Nobody's really doing a great job of it externally at this particular time.
Or at least like what mostly gets picked up, you know, probably like Jennifer Aniston and the One Chip.
Right.
You know, like what really gets picked
Shots
up
fired.
to get into the the greater atmosphere or the greater culture is when we're doing a bat.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, healthy church conflict happens at church down the street. It only matters to the people involved.
Right, you hear about it.
That's
yeah.
not a cool news story.
Anyway. Yeah.
No shock value.
Awful church conflict happens at the church down the street.
Yeah.
Whole community is involved now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Church met, had healthy conversation with disagreement, and came to a resolution.
Yes.
That sounds like an Onion article.
Breaking news.
Yes. Exactly. Now, I've got, so I don't know, we might not actually be able to use this, but I think this might be helpful for us.
Okay.
I'm making this realization right now.
If we're not going to be able to use this, I'm just going to cut it right here. And we'll just pick up the conversation afterwards. Yes.
So in the ancient Near East, right, there were all these other creation myths, even throughout the world. And almost all of those myths, particularly in the ancient Near East, are rooted in conflicts between gods, of one god having a conflict and being victorious over another. And your people always supported the victorious god, right? So if you were a worshiper of Baal, that was because Baal beat whoever. And if you were, whatever, you got the idea. One of the things that's unique about the creation myths within Christianity, within Judaism, is this idea that God is not a conflictual god who won a battle over other gods, but God is bringing order out of chaos. And so as people following this god, I think that's important for us to think about when we're entering the conflict situations as well, that we're not here to go into a conflict in order to prove victory over another, to prove that our god is stronger than another. We're here to say, look, this is chaos, and we can bring order out of this, and that order can bring beauty and other things that move forward. So I think that can shape how we enter into these conflictual conversations as well.
Yeah, I think we can use it.
Yeah. I'll allow it.
Yeah, I was just thinking as you were saying that so many cultures are based off of like strength and show of strength and stuff, but nowhere in like the Beatitudes, which you mentioned, is strength.
Right,
one
meekness
of their,
is highlighted. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or any strength in there is definitely comes from an internal strength to endure.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, in some ways. To endure someone else's aggression.
Yeah.
Like, and so not
we
just to endure suffering, but like, yeah, to endure suffering, willful suffering.
Yeah.
Is an incredible amount of strength.
Yeah.
All right. So let's take a look at it. So this is 14 questions to ask before starting the conversation.
Do all 14.
We'll see.
Okay.
By Karina.
Are we going to do them in order?
Yeah. Why not?
Okay.
Number one. Any other questions before our 14 questions?
By Karina Phillip here. And I think, you know, she's starting off with this idea that where we're facing a lot of conflict is, one, through the lens of politics, and two, in the arena of social media.
Sure.
No.
And I think that's...
So it's a political discussion that's happening in social media.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is a recipe for disaster, if I can go on record as saying that. Like, just don't do it, folks.
Sure, yeah.
We'll allow it.
There are lots of healthy places to have disagreements about politics. Social media is just not going to be it. Just don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is not worth your time.
No.
Yeah. That's for cat videos. Come on, people.
Right.
And first day of school pics.
Yes.
You can leave the cat videos at home. That's fine. I don't need those.
Oh, come on. Yeah. We all know you don't like pets, so.
Yeah, I don't even want to deny that. It's fine.
Yeah, we know.
Rhapsody and I have an understanding.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm saying a lot of people just turn off this podcast right now.
I'm okay with it.
And I think we can also say, like, there's a lot of contention going on, not just within the church, but in our world right now, and of important issues, of things that do matter.
Yeah.
And so when Christians get involved of, like, what is our best avenue to advocate for, you know, areas of climate change, race, of sexuality, these matter. Like, these are not unimportant things.
Yeah.
So it's not just to say, like, hey, all that conflict that we're seeing on social media is about things that don't matter.
Mm-mm.
They do matter, but how do we approach it in the best and healthiest way possible that not only honors Jesus in the midst of this, but also honors the person I disagree with.
So wait, I'm supposed to be honoring Jesus with my conflict?
Yikes.
Yeah,
right.
Like, we could probably be, you know, taking a moment to take that in, because I think that's really important. Like, when we are entering into this conflictual argument, what is our purpose?
Yes.
Is our purpose to bring honor to Jesus by doing this? I think, I don't know if this is question number one, but
it
I think that's, oh, okay, look at that. Yeah, we should be hitting that. Go ahead. What's question number one?
Is my objective simply to make a point or to point people to Christ?
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in fairness, like, I think that this is interesting because not every conflict is going to be centered around, like, especially when we talk about the political world and in the arena of social media.
Right.
Like, it's weird, like, sometimes when you see conflicts and all of a sudden people that are bringing religion into a
situation. But Jesus.
Yeah, bringing Jesus into a situation that's not directly addressed or highlighted.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's weird. But I do think coming to the point of, like, what do I most want to accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to prove this person wrong, Or do I want to point them to Christ through my words, my tone, my understanding? All these mm-hmm. things mm-hmm. do matter, yeah. even if Jesus is not mentioned.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think for the sake of our conversation, too, I am most imagining Christian v. Christian.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And
that sounds like a terrible Supreme Court case.
Christian v. Christian.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, like, it's always important to treat the person that you have conflict with dignity, regardless
yeah.
of.
Elise is trying to read ahead on the questions. I see that.
I was not. I'm trying to make
a point. Because that is number two.
I got an elbow. Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, well. I'm just ahead of my time.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, dignity and respect.
Yes.
No values.
Do it.
Am I regarding the person I disagree with as a fellow image bearer of God?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that image bearer of God
yeah.
language, because it's not just like, oh, I recognize you as a person that exists in the world. It's like, no, when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to someone who could easily be revealing God to me
yeah.
if I'm open to that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's regardless of who I'm speaking to, that
yeah.
every person I encounter is bearing the image of God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of things in this world, like, not there, there's a lot of structural stuff that needs to change, but a lot of things in this world could be improved if Christians alone started taking that attitude towards other people.
Sure.
I don't think we embody that in our conflictual conversations or even just in our everyday interactions.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if we could at least start taking this attitude towards
right.
other Christians.
At least do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Step one. Look at your fellow Christians and
yeah.
say, oh, right.
Right.
Bear the image
and,
of God.
And I also want to say, and that's just not for other people to keep in mind. It's also for me to keep in mind.
Right.
No, that's for other people.
Yeah. Like,
it's for you guys.
Yeah.
I got it.
All
so, right. So it's not just something that those people need to work on.
Right.
I need to work on
yeah.
this. This is something that I need to address in my
yeah.
life. Are the things we agree on
mm.
of more consequence than the things we disagree about?
Hmm.
That's an interesting one, because
yeah.
I don't know that you always know that going into the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's an important one to be, like, asking yourself throughout the conversation.
Yeah.
And I think that gets me to one of my most important strategies that I use with these, is trying to go into a conflictual conversation with, and this is what got back to question one, right? Not with the intention of proving myself right,
mm-hmm.
but to hear as much information as I can. Like,
yeah.
sometimes I really prefer to go into these conversations dumb.
Yeah.
And, like, just go, like,
yeah.
I want to hear as much from you
yeah.
as I can. So
yeah.
I can figure out what we're actually talking
right. yeah.
about.
I want to, like, I like to start off these conversations asking, like, from your perspective, what actually happened,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So. I think this also reminds us that, like, some stuff is important, but it's relatively, like, somewhat new,
yeah.
somewhat, in maybe in the grand scheme, relatively
mm-hmm.
minor,
mm-hmm.
that we're all figuring it out. I think of things like, you know, a huge debate right now of, like, critical race theory.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest. 3 months ago, I didn't know what that meant.
No.
Right.
Like, it didn't mean anything to me, and now I have to be forced to have an opinion on it.
Yeah.
You know, or like, I see it argued about, and it seems like both sides are arguing about it, and neither side, they can't even really agree on, like, what it is you're
yeah.
arguing
yep.
about.
Yeah.
Because, like, we all are kind of like, I don't really know what that means.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Like, it sounds, you know, controversial.
Right.
Right. It does have a name that sounds controversial.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what is it maybe is controversial.
Right.
But, like, it's something I, yeah, at 42 years old, I've never encountered. And
right.
all of a sudden, it's in the national media, and we all have to address this.
Yeah.
And,
but none of us know what it is.
But none of us
right.
know what it is.
Yeah.
And I think Elise and I, you know, we talked about this over our friendship one, like, or, you know, a trans women in female sports.
Yeah.
Again, this is not something I really thought about 3 months
mm-hmm.
ago. And now all of a sudden, it's a major
mm-hmm.
sticking point. Like, what
mm-hmm.
does this mean? You know, like, how do we address this to best support female athletes and trans athletes? And I don't, maybe say,
yeah.
like, I don't really know the right answer.
Yeah.
And yet, it's so contentious immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so I think this comes with, like, maybe let's make sure when we're making strong declarative statements about things that are relatively new to the cultural
mm-hmm.
conversation
mm-hmm.
to acknowledge, like, hey, let's start at a place of understanding.
Yeah.
If we're going to start with critical race theory and debate that, let's start with agreeing to what it
right.
actually
yeah.
is.
And it's okay
yeah.
to know what you don't know, too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And to admit what you don't
right.
know.
It's
right.
It's not, that's not weakness or ignorance. To be like, oh, I really don't
yeah.
know enough to have a formed opinion on
yeah.
this.
Which, I mean, is sometimes problematic because, right, you enter into a conversation and suddenly something's getting thrown back at you. And so in the midst of that, to say, I don't know what that is,
yeah.
makes it feel like the rest of your argument
is invalid.
Is invalid. Yeah. And that's not really true. Like, if someone else, if you're entering into a discussion or a critical or conflictual conversation and someone else comes at you with new information that you're learning, that's not bad. This is that's an opportunity to say, I'm not familiar with that. I need to do more, or I need to learn more. I need to read more about that and ask for their resources. Like, say, can you point me to where you're... Like, I mean, especially if they're coming into something that you don't know about politically or socially, like, point me to what you've read so I can read what that is and then decide for yourself if what they've read is accurate or not.
Yeah.
And you can continue that. Yeah.
And there shouldn't be shame associated, I don't think, in saying I was speaking from a place where I didn't have the information.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
I wish that we would all admit that more.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to number four.
Let's do it.
Because this is
what was number three?
Are the things we agree on.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Right. What if neither of us has a full grasp on all the issues and we need each other to see a more complete picture?
Oh.
We always need that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big believer that we always need other people's perspectives.
Yeah.
That I never have the whole story.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that I don't maybe have more of the puzzle pieces or feel like I have more of the puzzle pieces, right? But there's always something that I'm missing.
Sure.
And I think as long as both parties are willing to enter into a conversation like that, it can be really meaningful. It's really hard to be the only person in a conversation who feels that way.
Yeah.
And to be like, I'm willing to take what you're giving me, but you're not willing to take anything. That, that's really, really hard.
I agree.
Yeah. Now, this is not going to be coming out in these 14 reasons, but I do think maybe now is a good time to say, like, because what do we do?
Yeah.
I want to enter in this in this conversation, this conflict, in a healthy, respectful, Christ-centered way, and the people around me do not.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then what happens? You know.
Yeah. I think a lot of times we end up in a worse spot than when we started.
Yeah.
I think, you know, this is one of the reasons that social media is such a horrible place for this sort of conversation, because so often it becomes one-sided, right? Somebody puts something out there, maybe or maybe not intending to start a conversation. Like, maybe they're just kind of putting out a gut reaction to something, and somebody comes at them with this conversation, and it just goes into a terrible place because they weren't in the same headspace.
Yeah.
I think if you can be intentional about your purpose, intentional about your intentions, I guess, going into it, that can be helpful. But it's just really hard to enter into that conversation and have somebody say, I'm not interested in that. I think it's okay to back out of that conversation and say, if we're not in... Particularly if this is having the conflictual conversation with another brother or sister in Christ, right? If that's a piece of our purpose, I think it's okay to back out and say, we're not in the same place. We shouldn't be having this conversation right now. This is no longer pointing either one of us to Christ.
Right.
And that it's not what we need to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think at that point, I honestly say, bail.
Like
that's just never... Especially if these conversations and conflicts are happening online with strangers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just,
not worth it. Yeah.
Just bail. Like, there's no reason for to continue on this. That's not going to work, because you have to think, like, when's the last time a stranger convinced you of anything through an argument on social media? If the answer is never, don't be so arrogant.
Don't be that stranger. That you're
going to be able to convince other strangers. So, I mean, but
I'm really convincing Patrick.
Sure. But if this is a conversation that you're having with friends, family, people within your real social circles, then hopefully you can rely on the relationship to guide how deep and how far you're willing to go in the conflict over these issues. If it's, you know, a guy you knew 10 years ago that you're friends on Facebook with, maybe this is just not the avenue.
Yeah.
If it's a close personal friend that you can trust them and you feel like they can trust you, that's a much healthier avenue to have an honest, open conversation with an understanding of our relationship matters.
Yeah.
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 So if I want to call Jennifer Aniston on her one chip habit, I should be doing that in person, is what I'm hearing you say.
Fine. Podcast,
okay.
Not enough.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And since I think we... Yeah, that's a good point. Like, since we have kind of, like, as a culture...
I guarantee you nothing I just said about
that.
Yeah.
Well, it leads me to a good point.
Okay.
What you said led me to something brilliant.
All right, there you go. Good.
Since we have, like, such a, you know, a fascination and fixation on celebrity in America, sometimes we want to engage with, like... We feel like we know public figures, and therefore we should be allowed to engage with them on everything.
Right.
And that's just not going to
work. Like their chip habit. Yeah.
Like their chip habit. Yeah. Tweeting at Jennifer Aniston that her chip habit is stupid. It is stupid. That's not going to fix anything.
The chip habit is stupid. Tweeting at her about it is also stupid.
Right.
So.
All right. I'm going to skip a few of these.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, We don't need to go through
There's
all.
14.
There's 14.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
That's overkill.
You can read them. You can read them, people. Yeah, let's see. Yeah. Can I acknowledge the inherent conflict, tensions, and trade-offs of siding with any political party?
No. Yes.
Yeah, I think you got to be able to acknowledge your own weaknesses.
Yeah. It is possible. I think most people do not.
I would agree. Yeah. And I think this is one reason that I personally tend not to intentionally side with one political party or another.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely have my leanings, and within the last 8 to 10 years have definitely leaned heavier one way than another. But I don't necessarily identify myself as a Democrat or Republican, because there are lots of problems on both sides. I'm like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Neither one has a perfect solution or even necessarily, you know, majority of right solutions. There are plenty of problems to go around.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we can acknowledge, like, members within that political party, public figureheads, are faulty human beings who fail, who sometimes are motivated by greed, power, and engage in bad faith arguments already.
Yeah.
And so by aligning ourselves completely with one of the two major political parties in the United States, we're aligning ourselves with that.
Yeah.
Like, and saying, like, that is a means to an end.
It's
okay to do those things if you're on the side of good, or if you're on the right side.
Yeah. And to be clear, right, I mean, this is also an extremely biblical situation, right? I mean, David, Saul, Solomon, like, all of these kings of Israel went through the same problem, and people were aligning with them for the same. So it's not, like, completely foreign to have this leader lifted up who's also a failed human being.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean that they have all the right answers, or that they were anointed by God, or, like,
Well, I think it does mean, like, by siding with them, sometimes it's, and we've talked about this before on the podcast, like, the issues on my side are diminished, and the issues on their side are uplifted.
Absolutely.
And so, like, that should not be the case. As Christians, we should be most willing to call out the people we admire and like and are on our team, so to speak, versus calling out the other side.
Right.
Okay. Am I placing my culture, my region, traditions, or any other affiliation or ideology above identification with Christ and what he commands?
Yep. That's tough.
Yeah.
Because we do that so quickly without even realizing that we're doing it.
Yeah.
This is really hard. And it's hard to be able to step outside of yourself enough to identify that.
Mm-hmm. It's like implicit biases.
Exactly. And I don't know about you all. I, for one, have a lot easier time identifying it myself when I, like, really take the time to, like, think about it. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can see where I'm doing that. But when somebody that I'm in a conflictual argument tries to call me on it,
oof, no.
That's like instant hackles up and self-defense.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to do three more.
Okay.
Has my personal apathy and compromise contributed to our country's current societal ills? Obviously not me.
Yeah. I think the dead silence pretty much sums that one up. That's tough.
That is tough.
And I think that's a question you really have to ask yourself before you enter into the conversation at all.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like the implicit bias that we were just talking about, but what is my part that I need to acknowledge in this?
Mm-hmm.
And part of that's kind of what we were saying, right? Preparing for every conversation, but I think part of it's just saying, I need to acknowledge my own sin in the midst of this.
And I think what we sometimes get caught up in doing is we can acknowledge on some level our personal apathy and compromise, but by making this social media stand, we're now on the good side. We're on the
activism.
That erases my personal apathy, compromise, and my contributions to society's ills, whether intentional or unintentional. But I'm arguing on Facebook. And so, like,
here we are.
So I'm doing my part.
So I don't know, this is about 6 months ago, something like that. I don't remember exactly, but after George Floyd was murdered, we had those signs that started coming out where it was like, in this house, like, Black Lives Matter and women matter and this, that, and it kind of went down the list of all these things. And they'd all been out for a while, 3-4 months, and, you know, people were putting them up in various places. And I looked at Amanda one night and was like, kind of like, I think maybe we should, like, get one of those signs. And she looked at me and she was like, why? I was like, well, because we agree with all those things. And I was like, well, yeah, but why? Like, what is that change? And I think this is Amanda, right? Amanda has the right to call me on this kind of stuff. But I think that was her way of saying, like, that's not going to change anything else about how we live or what we actually, like, what are you going to accomplish by putting that sign out?
Yeah.
Versus what are you actually going to do about this stuff?
I have sort of a theory about humanity that goes along with this, too. It's that if you have to brag about it, it's not actually real. You don't actually believe it that much if you feel like you gotta
This is also, you know, this is on a Game of Thrones. The spoiled boy king has to say, like, I'm king, you should obey me. And his uncle or his grandfather says, like, any king that has to say I'm king is no true king. And I agree completely. Anybody, like, I love, like, some reality TV show competitions, like Survivor or Big Brother, things like that. And anybody who goes on those shows is to say they're smart or say they're in charge is not actually those things.
Or say I'm not racist. Or I mean, I think that a lot of these, like, the signs are well-intentioned and, you know, great messaging. But I'm
skeptical.
Yes,
I hear that.
Skeptical.
And, I mean, this is not a critique of the sign one way or the other. I mean,
I love that you wanted to have that sign.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. But also, I think Amanda's point to me was, like, it's more important for you to be doing these things than it is for you to have a sign in the yard.
That's
absolutely
a good point,
Touche, wife. That's why you win.
And if you're a listener who has one of the signs, I think that's also good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So. All right, let's go to or any other sign. Put a sign. I don't care.
I do.
I mean,
I don't want to see, like, a swastika in your yard. I don't want that. I don't want to see that.
I hope. I don't. I
think
hope.
Nobody was suggesting a swastika in the yard.
Patrick said put any sign you want in your yard. I want to be clear. I'm not on board with that. All right? I don't want to leave this up to interpretation.
The signs I'm against are the signs of my neighborhood where they're like, don't let your dog pee in our yard.
I'm like,
it's a dog, okay? It's fine. You, like, it's going to happen. You live in a neighborhood, this is what happens.
I'm now encouraging my dog to pee in your yard.
Okay, people. Let's
see. All right, last two. Can I call out any unbiblical views from my brother or sister my brother or sister might have in humility and in love?
So I'm sorry. Can I call out any unbiblical?
Can I call out my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, with humility and love?
On their unbiblical views.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's the question,
Unbiblical views. Yeah. It's kind of the highlighter here, yeah.
I mean, I think that's been the purpose of all these questions is, you know, going back to question one, am I doing this to point them to Christ, or am I doing this for my own gain? And if I'm doing it for my own gain, I'm not doing it out of Christian love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the humility aspect is really important in that, though, because there's so many different understandings and interpretations of what is biblical or unbiblical.
Yeah. I do find, and maybe this is just my experience, you know, when we've had the conversations about, like, salvation, where that falls, I tend to fall more towards a universal hope stance on salvation, where my hope is that God works, that all things are redeemed, regardless of where you end up on any particular issue. Or so I find it's a lot easier for me with that particular theological leaning to have this stance.
Yeah.
Like, it's easier to enter into a conflictual conversation and say, okay, we can disagree on that. And, and I can continue to love you in spite of that.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, I think that God is bigger than this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're trying to convince me because without that, I'm not going to be saved, I feel like that's a lot harder conversation to have.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, look, again, Christians typically fight over a couple things, you know, like especially on social media.
Sure.
Right.
And those are, you know, issues.
It's not usually cat videos.
It's not usually cat videos. Yeah.
Nobody fights over cat videos.
Right. But I do think highlighting this idea of, like, can I do this with humility and compassion for the other person? And if I cannot, I should not.
Yeah.
I think that that's really the most important aspect that I'm taking away from this question. If I cannot do this with humility, I should not do it at all.
Yeah.
Like, if I can only do it with anger, if I can only do it with, you know, Bible thumping, pointing to a hammer verse, or pointing to this one out of context sentence in scripture, and that's
or an actual hammer,
and that's the only way I can, that's the only way I can convince my point across, or to tell somebody I think they're wrong, better to stay silent.
Yeah.
That the humility and love matters more than the proof that you have or the argument.
Yeah, I hear that.
So I think that's how I'm taking away this. And I think 14 is interesting here too, because it goes with number 13.
Ooh, they're like a set.
Yeah. Can I accept being called out for any unbiblical views I might have in humility and love?
If I had any, I would accept being
okay.
Absolutely. I think the in humility and love is really, really important there.
Yeah.
Again, this comes back to, like, both of you have to be on the same page. Like, it would almost be good if, like, before you had a conversation, you had this piece of paper and said, okay, we're both going to ask one another these questions before we go any further.
Yeah.
And if we can answer these, then we'll go forward with this conversation.
Yeah.
Like, I can see that.
Yeah. Point. I think the tricky part is, too, nobody thinks that they have unbiblical views.
Mm.
You know, like, everybody thinks that they've interpreted it correctly or whatever,
right.
you know?
Yeah. But I will say, like, when we talk about homosexuality, right, mm-hmm. like, I'm willing to let people point to me, or point to all the verses that say that, you know, homosexuality is an abomination. I'm willing to let people point that out to me and say, okay, yes, I see those, and those are pieces that I'm choosing to not value as much as these other pieces
yeah.
that are over here, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a piece of it, right? You don't have to say, my view is unbiblical. You just have to be willing to acknowledge, yeah, there are points of the scripture that might contradict where I currently stand,
mm-hmm.
and what does that mean, and
yeah.
how do I wrestle with that? Yeah.
Well, I think for me, this highlights this idea of, like, if I'm going to approach, like, here's a controversial thing happening on social media, I want to be engaged, I want to address these issues that I'm seeing with friends, family, acquaintances, in humility and love, and I'm coming into it, I have to be willing to say, like, maybe I'm wrong. What happens if they point something out and I'm like, oh, I never thought about that before. I never considered that point of view honestly and intellectually before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what do I do then?
Yeah. You're expecting them to do that, you have to be willing to do that as well.
Yeah. Do I just further entrench myself in my own presupposed views where no amount of evidence or argument can argue me out of, then I'm not really entering this, I think, in sometimes good faith.
Yeah.
And not to say, like, that's every issue out there, but there are, in these hot button issues that pop up suddenly, we have to be willing to say, like, I've never considered these other points of view before, and the way you're speaking makes me reevaluate how I perceive the world. I may still land on the exact same worldview as I had coming in, but this gives me more information, more pieces of the puzzle to put together.
Yeah.
And that helps me see things a little clearer. And I think that matters too. That coming in with the without the idea of, like, I'm right, you're wrong,
mm-hmm.
but, like, let's engage together and figure out something better than what is being presented out
yeah.
there in the world. All right, so we didn't do all 14, but you
that's
can find
okay.
all these 14 if you go to Relevant's website.
There you go.
Or maybe we'll link to it. I don't know. That's on you, Pastor David, so you'd have to do
we'll
it.
We'll see. You'll have to send me that link, and we'll see what happens.
I did send you this link.
I'll have to remember to put that in.
There you go.
It's fine.
Any other thoughts on conflict?
So this is a verse from Romans. This is Romans chapter something. Hold on. Chapter 12.
One-upping us.
Romans chapter 12, verse
20.
Well, it's not prepared. This is just as Patrick was talking. All right, so this is from Romans chapter 12, verse 20. Just one thought for us here. This is, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this you will heap burning coals on their head. And I think there's an element of this with the conflictual conversations that if we go into it with all of these things here, you're probably going to get people who feel like you're heaping burning coals on their head.
Yeah.
Like, if you go into a conversation and you're just like, yeah, that's an interesting point. I hadn't thought about that way. And here's this other thing. And if you just stay super calm and, like,
mm-hmm.
never react and never get heaped up, people will think that you're being insulting and,
yes.
and, like, all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be prepared for a reaction from someone that feels like they're getting burning coals heaped on their head,
yeah.
I think is helpful, because when we treat people with the genuine Christian love that we're called to, it's often perceived as something else.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Be like Mr. Rogers. Not like John White.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, sure.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Why not? I like Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
That's it. All right. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay. Well, since Patrick said be like Mr. Rogers, if you liked this episode or any of our Beyond Sunday episodes, you can find them all at beyondsundaypodcast.com. Be sure to like, share, rate, review, all those things. Put this out with friends before you have a conflictual conversation. Maybe send them a link to this episode and say, hey, listen to this,
that's
and
prepared.
Then I've got something that I want to talk to you about. I'm sure they'll love that.
Yeah.
But if you have any other thoughts, or if you have a story about a conflictual conversation that went really well or really poorly, we like both of those, you can send those to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.